This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Stratham, New Hampshire poet Nancy Jean Hill's new collection, Unholy Ghost, is full of pain. There's the ache of depression, which is given the name Unholy Ghost. Throw in memories of abuse and alcoholism and the loss of a sibling, and you've got poetry that takes you to some deep, dark places. But the words themselves illuminate the conditions of sorrow and grief. Nancy Jean Hill joins me now to talk about Unholy Ghost. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Peter. I'm really glad to be here.
Tell us about the origin of the term Unholy Ghost.
Probably several years ago, many years ago, I was reading one of Jane Kenyon's poems titled Having It Out with Melancholy. And in that poem, she refers to her own melancholy and depression as the Unholy Ghost. And that poem is written in, her poem is written in several parts. And that's just when this poem started to take off in my head. But it's come through a lot of revisions since that, since that started. So her Unholy Ghost poem is shorter than this one. Her parts aren't as long. It's quite different, really, but that's where the idea came from.
And certainly there's a long tradition of poets writing about the kind of demons that you describe, the pain of depression. There have also been psychological studies done about how it seems to be prevalent in creative people.
Right.
Has depression always been something you've struggled with?
I think probably it has, but it was never diagnosed until I was in my late 30s, and I had a major depressive episode, and that's really when I began writing poetry, which is a little over 25 years ago. At that time, I was hospitalized for depression, and it was during that hospitalization that I started writing poetry. First, it was cathartic, and then after I got home from being there and some healing started to take place, I found that I loved writing poetry. So I started going up to, I applied to the Frost Place up in Franconia, New Hampshire, and the first time, I was denied. I didn't get in. And then I took several years before I got the courage to apply again. And I went up there and I was accepted. It was probably 2002 and I was accepted and I did the festival first. And then after that, I continued for probably, 6, 7, 8 years in a row. I went up and I started out at the festival and then I was accepted into the Master Seminar for poetry. And a lot of the poems in this book were conceived at the Frost Place.
Mm-hmm. So. Have you always written about depression?
I have always loved to write, but I didn't write about depression before I found out I actually had depression and had the experience of having depression.
Mm-hmm. You've been called brave for writing about this stuff. Mm-hmm. Honest, certainly. But do you think it took courage to write about this?
It doesn't feel so much brave to me to write the poems. It feels brave to share the poems more than writing them. One of the poets that really helped me with this was Sharon Olds. I don't know if you're familiar with her or not. It was really, can I read something? I just have
Absolutely.
This one.
Yeah.
I have this quote from Mark Doty that he says.
Mark
about
Doty, another famous poet. Mark
yes.
Doty, not from New Hampshire, though Sharon Olds does live in New Hampshire, and she actually just won an enormous prize.
Yes, she did.
Congratulations to Sharon Olds. But anyway, go ahead.
Lifetime Achievement Award.
Right,
from,
right.
Yes.
So something from Mark Doty, please read.
Right. Mark Doty sums up nicely what she did for me. By writing with such, this is his quote, by writing with such candor and clarity, Olds has granted younger poets, especially women, permission to speak. Her poems, in their evocation of trauma or desire, in their grief and joy and comedy, have opened new possibilities for poetry in our time. I believe you wrote that just recently when she got that award, she received that award. She also won the Pulitzer Prize in 2013 for her book Stag's Leap, which is totally about a divorce after a long-term marriage. So that's what she did for me. She gave me permission to write these. Reading her gave me permission to write these, that it was okay for me to write these poems about these things.
Lots of difficult material in this book, for sure. Depression, sexual abuse, alcoholism, grief from the loss of a sibling. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about another little more positive aspect of the book, which is just the music of the of the lines here. And there are several examples, almost too many to name here, that make it seem as if you did it so easily. Right, that it just the lines and the stanzas were just born to be that way. And I know from my own experience as a writer is that it doesn't often fall out of your mouth that way. It takes a lot of polishing. Maybe you're the exception and it did fall out of your head that way. Tell us a little bit about your editing process.
Okay. No, I'm not an exception. It didn't fall out of me that way. I think when I first start writing something, if an idea comes to my head or a memory comes to my head, I start really just free writing and write anything that comes out. I use form, as you can, you know, you can probably see there's like three or four pantoums in here, sestinas, a villanelle, sonnet, because it seems contrary or paradoxical to say this, but when I use form and I have these rules, it helps me allow the poem to take on a life of its own. So it helps me, for instance, if I'm dealing with a difficult subject, I don't necessarily stick to the story exactly the way it happened because I have these rules to follow. So I have these lines that have to follow a certain pattern, and I have assonance. That's the word I was trying to think of. I use a lot of assonance in my poetry and a lot of other poetic devices. So although they start out a lot, I mean, some of them, like Beryllium Diary, for instance, that's the story exactly the way it happened, mostly. But some of them start out with a memory and then sort of just take on a life of their own. So it's not all just about me. And that's what happens. That's like the beautiful thing that happens. I end up surprised about the journey that the poem actually took. Someone said, and I heard this quote at the Frost Place, that a poem lies its way to the truth. And some of my poems do that. It's not exactly the way it happened because, like you were talking about, the musicality and that sort of thing just kind of takes over.
One of the challenges I have as an interviewer is that I'm given a book or I've found a book that has good poems in it and I have to talk to the author. And I'm so happy that you're here to be able to talk to me. But one of the questions I almost never want to ask is, did this literally happen to you? Because it almost doesn't matter.
Right.
I mean,
it's
beautiful poetry. And the super curious among us may say, so really, was it your sibling who died? But whether your sibling really did die or not, the emotion you get from the poem is exactly the same.
Right. That part is true. My sister did die when I was very young. I was 3 and a half and she was almost 8. And it was unexpected. So that part is true. But some of the other stuff is just not exactly the way it happened in the poems.
How do you know when it's time to change a fact?
It's really about the poem. It's about serving the poem. It just happens. It's really kind of strange. I don't think I really know when that's supposed to happen or when it should happen. I just allow it to happen by using the form and by using other poetic devices. And
it's not something they can teach you in poetry school.
No, it's not something they can teach you in poetry school, but I do know that for a lot of poets, the poets that I've been around, they don't stick to the facts. It's not nonfiction. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. It's not necessarily memoir, although I consider this somewhat of a poetry memoir.
Nancy Jean, thank you very much for sharing with me.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
That's Nancy Jean Hill. She's the author of the new book, Unholy Ghost. You can find a list of the top 5 books on Nancy Jean's bookshelf at nhpr.org. And we are always looking for reading recommendations from listeners like you. What's the title that you find yourself recommending to friends and family members? Tell us. Our email address is books@nhpr.org. You can also tweet us at nhprbookshelf. Remember, this is also a podcast, and you can subscribe to it and learn more about New Hampshire's literary scene. Just search for The Bookshelf from NHPR on iTunes or Google Play. This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you very much for listening.